But this is a question that we all ask eventually. It was certainly the question that Job asked when his life was turned upside down with heartaches and hurts of all kinds. In Job chapter 3, verse 11, Job says, "Why did I not die at birth?" In chapter 3, verse 20, just a few verses later, he says, "Why is light given to him who suffers in his helplessness and in darkness?" And then in chapter 7, verse 20, he says, "Why have you sent me as a target?" Job was talking about all of the things that came upon him and the trials and tests of his faith that he endured. And then another one in chapter 21, verse 7, says, "Why do the wicked still live?" That is, why do they grow to be old? And here those that are righteous die at a very young age. But all the time he's questioning God on all of these matters. And in many ways, this question is an unanswerable question. By the way, God never answered Job's prayers or his questions, I should say. And guess what? He doesn't answer our questions either. Now, a lot of people will talk about answering prayer, but not answering this question about why. And why didn't he answer Job's questions? Why doesn't he answer the questions that we have sometimes? It's because that he requires from us the same thing as Job did. Job had questions. We have questions today. But the problem a lot of times is, and the thing that is required, I should say, the things that are required of God, are required by God, I'm sorry, is faith. He required that of Job. He requires that of you and I today. And this is where the rubber of faith meets the highway of reality. If we have all these trials and tribulations of our life, all the heartache and hurts that we face from time to time, it does require faith. But will we continue to trust in God, to love God, to obey God and serve Him in every way that He wants? And will we do that when bad things happen to us? Things that sometimes happen that we simply do not understand. Job did not get his questions answered, and really, we will not get our questions answered either in a lot of ways. But the problem isn't that that bad things happen to good people. We see every day car accidents. You know, the elder that was killed here just a few weeks ago, leaving after an elders meeting, and just killed instantly, just within sight of the building. We hear about drownings, both young people as well as older ones. Some people die of a massive heart attack. We see all of those things. And the problem is that when something bad or inexplicable happens, maybe to ourselves or to a loved one, the suddenness of pain and the hurt comes very close to home. And when those kinds of things happen to every one of us, we ask the question, why? Thus we're left with an emptiness and a helplessness and the unanswerable question that haunts us day and extended nights. Sadly, some will fall away because they cannot answer these questions. But I hope this little study this morning will do two things. First of all, that it might help you or someone else find the light at the end of a tunnel. And number two, equip you with the practical steps that lead to our faith being strengthened and being able to face whatever comes our way with a strong faith. One thing for sure, as we look at the Bible and look at reality, we see that we all have something in common. One thing we have in common. We don't look alike, we don't act alike, we don't dress alike. We have different tastes. In the food we eat, we have different tastes. The books that we read, and the cars that we drive, the music that we like to listen to. We have different backgrounds, different goals, different jobs, different hobbies. We have different preferences when it comes to raising children, or sports, or the weights that we all are aware of today. Some are thin. We used to call it skinny. I don't know what they call it today. Some are overweight. The color of our eyes, color of our hair, the color of our skin. However, there is one thing that we all have in common. And that is, we all know what it means to hurt. Suffering is the universal language of mankind. It's the common thread that weaves itself through the lives of countless thousands of people, millions of people. And, of course, when we hear of events halfway around the world, and we see or hear how that children are murdered and their parents are tremendously affected by that, or vice versa. When children see their parents murdered or killed, it's a devastating blow to them. But when these and things that happen in our life, like those wherever they are in the world, the only way that we know about those things, of course, are the news media. But why do we want to ask the question, why? Why did all of these things happen? And why does it hurt you? We know how much it hurts to hurt when it comes to these different trials and tests of our faith. When life hurts, dreams begin to fade. And many express their brokenness in different ways, but each of us will eventually know the sting of sin and pain, and also heartache as well. Whether it's the tragedy of a disease diagnosis, or a divorce, or the death of a near loved one. All kinds of things happen to every one of us. Take just a moment right now and look. Some of you on the front might have to turn a little bit to look at some of our brethren in this building right now. I don't care where you are. Dismiss Martha and I's condition right now, because I know that you pray for us and pray for her especially. But look at one another this morning. Just turn around, look at one another. Those in the back, go ahead and look at some in the front. And what do you think as you think about all of these people? While our number is small, we do love one another. And it's important to come together like this to build our faith and strengthen our faith. But these things have happened to you. We can look around and we can see different lives of people who seem like they've got all the answers, that things are going great with them, or at least so we think. And we think that our problems are the only problems. that brethren have, and it's not. If you haven't, if these things haven't hasn't happened to you, then there's one thing that this means, and that is that you haven't lived long enough yet. Lord willing, you'll live longer, but you'll face these different trials, these different heartaches, these different hurts in your life, or someone near you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, tells us, therefore, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, the latter part of that, I'm sorry, the first part of verse 2, it says, for indeed this house, for in this house we groan. That is, they hurt. Christians in the first century hurt. Those at Corinth specifically here hurt. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Really, we could read verse 6 and 7. But let's look at verse 6. It says, Peter writes, you have been distressed by various trials. The idea of depression, or being depressed, indicates there's some kind of hurt there. But everyone will eventually have a story about their hurt, their pain that they have felt. But we need to understand that we, or I should say, I'm not the only one, and you need to make that statement too, that you're not the only one. As we look around this room, we can begin to think about how, well, so-and-so doesn't have this problem. They've got their life together and what have you. And that we're the only ones, we think, although incorrectly, that we're the only ones present that has to nourish and nurse the problems and hurts and heartache that we're faced with. And what all of that does is it brings us to have the Elijah syndrome. You know what, you remember Elijah. When Elijah said, I'm the only one. God reassured him, you know, though he felt like he was alone, he wasn't. God tells him that, you know, he had 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. So where are we going to go from here? When the judge's gavel comes down, and he speaks in a very authoritative voice, divorce granted. Something that we didn't want, something that we were against, and you tried everything that you could to prevent it. But all of a sudden, with that sounding of the gavel, your heart changed. There was a new normal in your life. And there was nothing you could do about it. The diagnosis that was bad, the way you raise your children, all of those things. And maybe the doctor comes in and he says, I'll leave you alone with your thoughts. Thoughts? What thoughts? You just have to tell the doctor you just gave us some devastating, life-changing news. How can I stop? What am I to stop? My thoughts? What are they? Much less things that I need to do. How can I do those things? What do I do now? How do I get through today, much less tomorrow, and all of the tomorrows that follow that? Those are the questions that lie at the heart of human suffering. And we all suffer from time to time. Not like our Lord did on that cruel cross of Calvary, but we still suffer as a Christian sometimes. Sometimes just because that we are human beings. And age and things like that happen to all of us naturally. And there are those things that happen during our lifetime that affect us. And I've learned that I don't have all of the answers. I just have learned that I've tried and try to trust in the one who does have all of the answers, and that is our God and Lord Jesus Christ. That's the essence of faith. When you trust God, when you don't understand, when you don't understand the why of a situation. If your faith counts for anything, then your faith must count for everything when life gets hard. And sometimes life does get hard. But when life gets hard, are you going to give up on God? Certainly not. When things bad, or when bad things happen to you, are you going to give up God then? Another question. As a parent, do you want your children to give up on you? Well, things have happened that you, when things that have happened that you don't understand, how are you going to answer those children? Are they going to give up on you? Or we could reverse the situation and look at children and how they affect their parents. All of those things. Especially whenever we take our young children in our arms and give them words of reassurance, telling them that what has happened is something they have no solution to, but they must learn to understand those things as best they can, but not give up on God. And another question, does our Heavenly Father have the right to do the same to his children today as he did with Job? And Job is oftentimes thought as one of the first books of the Bible that was written. And of course we would say, yes, God cares. He knows. And he has the right to ask for these questions not to be answered. That we have to go through life looking at those problems sometimes for weeks, months, maybe years. But we don't give up on God. We keep our faith. We keep our faith strong. One of the ways that we do that, of course, is through Bible study itself. Another way is by assembling ourselves together. That's what it's all about when we turn over and read Hebrews chapter 10, beginning about verse 23, 24, and 25. But suffering does not make us unique. It's how you respond to these things that makes us unique. We can become bitter or we can become better. That's not just a cliche. That is a real choice. And the choice is you, is yours. You can't make someone else's mind up for them. You can't make someone else's answer someone else's choice. It's your choice to make. And you will choose whether to trust God even when you don't have the answers, or when you're going through all kinds of hurt. But you can do it. I got some things here that I found recently on some things that some ways to help the hurting. And it meant something to me, not because of our current situation, this was before that, but just some things that sometimes we need to kind of keep in mind, roll over in our mind at least once in a while. First of all, when we're talking to someone who has a problem, obviously, and of course that might be when, certainly during a period of time immediately following the death of a loved one, or going through some difficult time in your life, one of the most important things you can do is just to be there. Job's friends were quiet for a time, but then they started criticizing him. You remember those things. Another thing is to reach out and touch them. Literally do those things. God gives us two valuable things to share our hearts, and that is our tears and our hugs, or our, I guess I could, should say arms, our tears and our arms. But how that we can comfort those who are in a very difficult, trying time, have no doubt many questions to ask, but we can comfort them to a great deal just by our presence with them. Another thing, you can send out a note, a handwritten note. You can give them a night out card. You know, what's the one thing, when bad things happen to us, we get sick, one of the things that seems like always happens is we want to try to withdraw ourselves from society. We want to be alone, but stay at home and not get out. One of the things that you can do is give a gift card. And that you can do that in a way that is not intrusive at all, but it also helps them to get out and get back to living their life, dealing with the problems that they have. And when those questions that we have regarding our life, you know, we can still live with those things. We can have strengthen our faith and be as God wants us to be. Another thing is to listen. Those who are hurting obviously have a story to tell about the trials that they're going through. But you can listen and let them talk. Don't overtalk them. Let them talk. It does a great deal of good for them. Another thing is that you can initiate a conversation with someone, maybe who has lost a loved one, and tell them some interesting story that you recall about the person that's deceased. All kinds of things along those lines to initiate a conversation and ask them some of their good memories that they might tell you, and you might be able to share with others, or might be able to learn something yourself. Another thing that you can do, and this was, I had never thought of this before, and that is to write the date down of the person who is deceased, or if you know of some person that has a specific problem, write when that started, write that down. And then wait 2 weeks, or a month, maybe even a year, and send them a note telling them that you're remembering them still in your prayers. Those things are very comforting. And they're not real intrusive, as some people take offense at those kinds of things. We haven't talked much about the church, the plan of salvation, or anything like that this morning. But I hope it's been helpful to you a little bit at least, in going through some of the trials that we all go through, and the hurts that we face from time to time, the heartache that each one of us bear. So if you're not a Christian, we want you to become such this morning. We have the baptistry is ready. Garments are here. You can be buried with Christ in baptism this very morning. Come with faith in your heart. Be willing to repent of your sins. Make the good confession. And be buried with Christ in baptism. Will you stand as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?